In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Another primary topic addressed on the show in the past 6 years is Orgone Energy, the making of Orgonite and the action of placing cheaply made but effective Orgonite pieces in specific areas to reverse deadly Orgone radiation. Regular past guests Don and Carol Croft have explained in depth how Orgonite is made, how it works, and have imparted fascinating stories about their adventures and subsequent gang stalking. It was in 2001 when Don and Carol met Don Bradley, and they began to collaborate on Orgonite engineering ideas. Don Croft describes Don Bradley as a natural genius who had a proclivity for metaphysical disciplines. He's among a handful of people who can see energy fields. His psychic gifts got him noticed. At a young age, Don Bradley became surrounded by some of the top people within the New Age movement. Years filled with writing, indoctrination, fame, and authorship passed, and it became apparent to Don that the New Age culture wasn't what it appeared to be. His departure from this programming marks a dramatic chapter in his life. In this time, his connection to God strengthened. Don Bradley was one of the first to warn the public on nationally syndicated radio about the atmospheric aerosol operations in the mid-90s. A daunting challenge during the pre-9/11 culture. His websites are youwantson.com, spelled UWANTSON, and dailymessenger.blogspot.com. Don currently lives near Palo Alto, California, where the recent massive fires destroyed most of the area surrounding his home. His voice is hoarse because of smoke inhalation. He's avoided interviews for more than a decade, but agreed to be on In Other News this week, which is fantastic. Don Bradley, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me.
Well, can you talk about your early experiences within the New Age community and around what year that would be?
1975, 76 is when I entered into it. It was right after I had this spiritual experience in Memphis, Tennessee, of all places, visiting relatives, and I picked up this thing, and it said it was a Bible, and I began to read it, and it was an evening, and I was with some friends, and I was just glancing through it, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I just felt like I was filled with love, and everything went downhill from there, because I understood only many years later what was finally happening to me.
So that was mid-70s.
December 12th, 1975.
You got involved with some of the top people in that movement.
Right away, unbelievably so. The following summer, this is December, 6 months later I'm moving and among the circles of the president of the Theosophical Society, the head of the Aquarian Educational Group, the head of the Meditation Groups for a New Age, Alice Bailey's thing. About 6-7 different groups from the Rosicrucians, the ones I've already mentioned, and the Theosophists, all of them. And with the top people, and I couldn't understand why. I knew from my mother and her mother and her mother and her mother, and then that there was this gift that got passed generation to generation, and in my family got passed to me rather than my sister. And it was this clairvoyance, you know, the ability to see energy and auras and all that stuff. And I used to talk about it as a kid and learned to shut up pretty quickly about these things because no one else was seeing them, and people were, what are you doing lying on the back in the field? I go, well, I'm watching this stuff flow by in the sky. Don't you see it? And they're like, there's nothing up there. And I'm like, you learn pretty quick to be quiet about these things. Well, that summer of 76, I kept running into people who all of a sudden knew all about me and they said the right things, and they produced the right literature that was completely explaining everything I'd been experiencing my whole life. And they're like, well, you know, this and that and this and that and this and that, and you should come and be a part of our thing. We can help you work and develop this and be this and become this. So I said, sure, why not? As long as it leads to one thing, they go, well, what are you looking for? I go, well, I met Christ in December of 75, and I want to meet him again. And they go, well, we can show you that way. But none of it ever led to it. It came outside of it. I had to leave it to meet him again, as it were. So that's how it all got started.
Would you say that people who have a psychic gift or psychic gifts, as you did, come up on the radar of the...
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They know everyone because they work with the demonic realm. And this dimension that's visible to me and others, we call them shadow walkers because they're in and out of our lives morning, noon, and night. I mean, we laugh about it because my kids picked us up too. They got it too. The thing of it is they absolutely know. They target you specifically. The sooner, the better. And I noticed they didn't come at me till after the Christ experience in December of 75, either because they felt they were going to lose me to the other side or they wanted to co-opt it, one or the other.
At what point were you beginning to see that this movement wasn't exactly what it appeared to be? And can you talk about the Freemason part of it, too?
Sure. Well, I was initiated into Freemasonry in September of 1979. And they only ever showed me the light and the hugs and what they call in Freemasonry the Blue Lodge degrees, the first three, you know, which we may take you to being a Master Mason, the first, the second, the third degree. Well, all these groups, Theosophical, the Rosicrucian, they all have their version of this, what they call the outer court degrees. And this is what, as far as they would let me go. And to get to the next step, I'd have to renounce Christ to go to the next step. In every case, I'd have to take oaths to these bizarre-sounding named entities who turned out to be this Nephilim Watchers that fell back in the days of Jared. Do you understand all that?
I do, but not specifically. The
200 Watchers fell. These were angels of the Seraphim class. They fell to earth on Mount Horeb, started mating with Canaanite women and produced giants. You know, and this is what all the Roman and Greek and various mythologies are based on, is the existence of that time, you know, when the gods descended to earth. We call them ancient aliens today. You see what I mean? But they're not alien at all. They were just breaking ranks from their angelic class and becoming human. If you're here more than 7 days as an angel, you become human, and they knew what they were doing. They took an oath. It's all in the book of Jasher. This is one of the books the Catholic Church in the 4th century removed from the Bible, but it was in the Dead Sea Scrolls, so it's legitimate. It's a legit book.
In some of these Freemason degrees, there are the names of fallen angels that you have to acknowledge?
Absolutely. Every degree above the Master Maiden is, well, there's the Royal Arch and there's so on and this, that, and the other. But you're given the piece of a name which actually comes out to Samazel. Because that's where it's all leading is to these. And each order has one of his different names. You might get Samazel from Freemasonry, and you might get from the Rosicrucians, Abayala. You see what I'm saying? And I hate saying these names because even when you speak them, the energy in the room changes. It instantly goes dark like it just did.
Okay. Well, you don't have to do that then.
Yeah, I don't want to say the names anymore. Everything is connected energy, as you probably most of your listeners are aware at this point in our awareness in the human experience. And everything is connected through sound. It's what holds the frequencies together. It's what light's based on. And this is what we learned in the Oregon movement, that sound is everything. Frequencies are everything. And when you use names of the fallen or the damned or however you want to call them, those are frequencies that create a response. And it's usually not a pleasant one. You see what I'm saying?
I do. Within the ranks of Freemasonry, there's acknowledgement to different fallen angels.
30th degree, you acknowledge Lucifer himself.
How far did you get, and at what point?
I got to the third, and I was given all the rites and rituals of all the degrees from the Rosicrucian, the Masonic, to do all in 1 year. And when I read through all the material, and they were going to condense 2 decades into 1 year for me. They really wanted me. But by this time, I was writing books. I was doing television and interviews. I was like a poster child, you know, at the same time the Celestine Prophecy and all of that Shirley MacLaine stuff was going on in the 80s. I was in the middle of all of that. I was being groomed to be the next new little boy. Huh. And they did. I mean, you can still go and find my books on Amazon, amazing as it seems. But when I finally looked through everything and saw that it was all, that you have to turn your back on Yahweh and Yeshua, Jesus, and give obeisance to Lucifer in every case, in every organization, where it's Theosophical, the Rosicrucian here in California, the Comasonic, Freemasonic, all of it, because I was in all of it, and I have the proof of all of it. Although I burned and threw away all my regalia, and I took all the rings and things they'd given me over the years in a lake in 2004, just to get rid of the stuff. What I couldn't burn, I threw in a lake.
They basically fast-track you through that because of your gifts. We're mostly...
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what they wanted it for, because... Apparently, this only happens to 2 people on the planet that are born with a pentagram on their right hand. If you look on my right hand, there's a perfect 5-pointed star. No other lines, just that. And apparently, this happens to 2 people in every generation. This is what I was told. I don't know how much of this is true. So, this gives you the great ability to see across dimensions and time and space. It is true to a degree that you can, but the control over it is the issue. You know, without understanding and without an overshadowing from Christ, you're lost. You have no control. They have the control. You see what I mean?
I do, and I could see how you would be valuable personnel within the ranks of those leagues.
Yeah, I am surrounded by them. Everywhere I go, they arrange it that, I mean, it's been like this my whole life since I was 16. I mean, after that life-changing experience in December of 95, I even had Scientologists follow me around for a month going, join us, and we're going to introduce you to the great master. And I go, who's that? And I go, wait, you mean that Elrond guy? And they go, no, the great master, the one above him. And I go, look, I'm not interested. You know, I'm kind of busy anyways. And who are you people? But they would send these beautiful women, all of them. Mm-hmm. They didn't come at me with just, bumping into at a coffee shop kind of thing. It would just be, there was always the opposite sex would come at you, and they would be the most stunning girl. Vestal virgin they had, so that your read on them, your take on them, is that they'd be okay. Because if they sent you an unclean spirit, you'd pick up on it right away because of your gifts. See what I mean? And you'd be like, no thanks, bye. See what how they do this? They use people to manipulate them into places where they're not suspecting of this procedure is being deployed on them. And they all do it. I watched them do it. They did it to me. I believe I'm just giving the story out on a radio show. All right. Well, you know, it's already out there anyways. I've read it online. So
the Rosicrucians, individuals within the New Age movement, the Freemasons.
Meditation groups for a New Age, the Aquarian Educational Group, the Star Mountain Group, the Theosophical Society, the Alice Bailey Organization. I was connected to the Weavers of the Light, which is a branch located in the UN building. Okay, that was us.
Scientologists.
Yeah, well, they tried. I was overloaded already, and my teachers were telling me not to get involved with them, that they would just waste my energies. They had me studying the Bhagavad Gita at 16, you know what I mean? Reading the Rig Vedas, and I had them memorized when I was 17, all of that stuff, you know, all the Eastern mysticism, all the Nagas, the serpent people literature, the stuff that came out of the fallen, is actually because after the races were split from the one into the many at the Tower of Babel, all these, it's the same darkness, went under different names and under different teachings. The Rosicrucian is Egyptian, okay? Theosophist is Paris, France. These are just different cultures, but it's all one winding road, as they call it. You see, after a certain place, all their creeds, all their philosophies, all their meditations that they give you to do, and I did them all. I did the rainbow meditations. I did the heart meditations for 11 years. I did all of that stuff, you know, because it was supposed to clarify things, and it did. But it just, I was losing myself in them. You see what I mean?
What would you say that you did learn positive and negative along the way going through these various paths spiritually?
Well, I wasted my life, you see, the first 20 years of it, and then I had to spend the last 20 years getting it back. But you can't ever get it back once you've gone down that road. They don't let you have it back. You're under surveillance for the rest of your life. The reason we had so many problems in the beginning of the Oregon chemtrail awareness thing was because of my past associations with these groups, which I had already broken from them by 98. I was out totally.
Can you talk about that process? You said something about the date December 95. Was that a breaking point?
Well, no. I mean, my books were still coming out all the way to the year 2000. They were still being published. It didn't happen all at once. It was just the great way God works. He just kept showing me things, you know, and I was in a Masonic lodge in 96. No, I'm sorry, it was in 94. I remember right. It was in 94, May of 94. So, and they tried to heart attack me. I actually had a heart attack in lodge and dropped down dead, and they just dragged me out to a hall and left me there. He said, oh, yeah, he's passed away. His heart stopped. I could hear that, and I could actually see myself leaving my body. But then there was this bright light, and someone was dragging me outside of the lodge here at Crotona, and I was breathing, and my heart was exploding in my chest, and I realized that these people just tried to kill me. That was a real eye-opener, that if they can't have you, no one will. I understand the problem that people in the occult have now about getting out, that it can literally cost them their lives and they don't dare because of the risks. But I was overshadowed because before they were, I had that experience with Christ. You see what I mean? And I had made my commitment before I'd made any commitments to them. He has already had claim on my soul. That was the difference. That was my lucky break in this life. I know people who are born into this multi-generational, and they cannot leave it. They can't even speak of it. You could just, they're dead. They'll kill them.
I've heard the opposite from a past guest, Mark Passio, who was a priest in the Satanic Church and for 10 years and decided to leave. They said, do your worst. They told him, no one will believe you.
Yeah, well, if you have to have the need of someone believing your life, I'd say you have some real issues that you have to deal with. I chose the alternative route. I decided I was no longer going to be a public figure for anyone. And I tried to stay even anonymous in the Oregon thing, but that wasn't to be. It's been a struggle because, you know, the gifts don't go away. What I was born with hasn't abated at all. But I have a protection now from darkness that I use very skillfully. And I actually egg them on in public.
It'd be great if you could share some of those thoughts, but could you talk about your experiences with Oregon Energy, such as using Oregonite?
I have the very first one he made, Don Croft, yeah. Met him in before 9/11 happened in 2001. And we were, you know, there was very few of us in those days trying to awaken the public about chemtrails. We were trying everything we could, and I had been for years. From about 97 on, anytime I got on a radio show or give an interview for one of my books, I'd change the subject into chemtrails and various other topics, and they'd be sitting there shaking their heads, and I'd be going, oh, yeah, we're going there. Bill Cooper died, and they got rid of David Jadonis. They threw him out of the country, and then they killed Jim Keith, and they tried to kill me a couple times, And then I ran into Don Croft, one of the sweetest, most likable, nicest guys you ever met, with a heart the size of Chicago. He was a good sort. My kids loved him. And he was one of the first human beings I met who didn't have an ounce of guile in him. And I was like, okay, I can work with anyone with this streak of innocence in him. I want to... Okay, let's see what he's on about. So he shows up, and he brings some stuff to me, and he goes, well, check, Bob, what do you see? And I was just the usual crystal stuff I'd been around all my life, you know, I'm like, meh. Then he pulled out this little pyramid, and I was watching the walls bend, and I was like going, okay, you've got something here. And I go, what's this? He goes, this is a holy hand grenade. I go, excuse me? You know, like from the movie. And I go, okay. Then he told me how he made it, and he wrapped wires around crystals and mixed it with resin and the catalytic reaction and how and why it was doing what it was doing. I said, well, these other designs aren't not getting anything, but this is, it's changing the energy structure of the room. We stuck it over my refrigerator, right? We had ice trays, and we were getting these huge ice columns, 2, 3, 4 inches coming off the ice tray by putting one of these over the fridge.
Wow.
And I went, you see, it's changing the fabric of the room. And then I really realized that in the wrong hands, these could be very ugly things. Because if the crystal is hexed, which is what they love to do with that stuff, the witches love crystals. Is they hex them, and it attaches low-order spirits to them as demonic anchors. And if you put that, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I went to make Oregon, and I had to throw the crystals out because they were just dirty.
People who can't see it, how do they tell?
Well, what I try to teach people is one of my golden rules. If there's any doubt, there is no doubt. If your heart tells you that there's something wrong with it, there is.
Is there a way to reverse it on your own?
Yeah, if you have a relationship with Yeshua, you can. You can ask him, because his Holy Spirit's in your blood. You now have his atomic frequency in your blood. Those spirits in the blood, that's why they're all big on blood rituals. But it's very true. Our life force, our presence is all in our blood, not in an organ or the third eye or the pineal gland or anything like this. And when you've allowed his Holy Spirit to enter you, which is what happened to me, I found out, then, yeah, you can cast these things aside and make them clean. But you have to be sure of that relationship, or you know, you could be making trouble. I mean, I've seen people bring things to gifting events back in the day, and I just go, really? Why don't you just leave those in the car? Who made those?
Right.
Well, no, I got sent these by so-and-so. Mm.
Can you talk about other positive experiences you had with Orgonite?
Yeah, that's where I want to go. There's a lot of hubris and salesmanship in Oregon that is satanically based Orgonite. They're usually pendants you wear around your neck or things like that, and they've been hexed, and it's what drove me away from it. So, you know, within 4 years, I was out. I was just like, there's just too much of this going on, and there's no oversight, and everything's just great. The next thing's always great, and it's always going to be great. And I'm like, no, there's got to be a quality control here, and there has to be field testing. And it has to be legitimate. You got to be able to create an event and then repeat the event, the scientific method. And that was the main thing, right? I could just name the few things that did work. There was this thing called a power wand, and it had two little wires that came off the end of a crystal that was wrapped. And if you hook this up to a frequency modulation device, and you dialed into certain frequencies, it could shatter glass in a radius of a mile in every direction. See how dangerous that is?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, because we did it, you know, and we realized, wait, how many did we give these or build how many of these and gave them away to everyone? And they don't realize that if it becomes a weapon, okay, you see why there had to be a quality control and oversight to this rather than just going rah, rah, it's all wonderful, which is why I had to leave it. As much as I saw the good that was being done with it, and I tried to do a lot of good with it for many years, I tried to make good, blessed by Christ devices and put them out and watched whole communities. In fact, that everywhere that they had just burned is in all the areas I gifted. So all that work is undone.
For listeners tuning in, we're speaking with Don Bradley. You're living in California in an area where some of the worst of those fires that occurred in early December of 2017 occurred. The areas that were you recognize that were really charred were areas where a lot of Orgonite was placed?
Absolutely. I placed it there. And as others, but I made a special mission. I got a map of Southern California, and I just went through town after town, community after community. It took me about 5 years to get it all done, and I just gridded the whole Southern California, and we watched all the brown smog disappear. I watched all the trees start coming back green, and their leaves start coming back, even with all the chemical spraying. The fruit yields, because I knew someone who had an orchard, their fruit yields were doubling, and they couldn't understand why. And we found the best thing to put them in was in water, you know, reservoirs, rivers, streams, things like that. Because wherever the water went, it would have this crystalline, pure energy washing it and making it nice. There was a Japanese fellow who took pictures of, like, pipe water and just garbage water and sewer water, and it was ugly under a microscope. And then he'd take regular tap water and bless it, get it under a microscope, and there'd be beautiful crystalline structures, right? Orgon has the same effect. You know, without having to manually go and bless every glass of water. See what I mean?
Pure, symmetrical, geometric shapes.
And that's what was producing all this phenomena with the ice cube trays, which we still have to this day, because I still have this thing over the fridge, and it still makes ice cube trays with these spikies coming out of them. It's the best ice ever.
Could the Orgonite, the gifted areas, be protected from possibly deliberately set fire?
Well, because when you deal with anything on a physical plane, you're dealing with the action and reactions of the article of free will, which we all have, as much as the dark side has, and people who follow, you know, the Lord Christ and seek to understand God's ways. You know, these two are polarities with us in the middle on Earth. It's a great truth of Earth, and it's a great sadness here, too, as everyone is aware, because we have both. But the one thing we each, all of us, have is the free will to make a choice to either be a right guy or a right gal or be a stinker. And the idea is to choose to be an honest, decent person and then and live, try to live that way and all that you are and do. But if you choose not to and you embrace, you know, a lot of people really love their work. I mean, you know, most of the Satanists I've run into, and I've run into all of them, from killers, and I mean really the real worst ones, because I've run into them all, and everything they do is visible to me. And the thing of it is they like what they're doing. This is why they're guilty, because they like it. You bring truth to Earth through your radio show. You enjoy what you do. So you're responsible for all of that. However it comes, if it comes through you, through this medium, it's on you to answer for it. And the people you bring, they're apt to answer for what they do. So many people in the dark side enjoy it, and that's their responsibility. This is their danger of judgment at the end of all this. As much as Christ can forgive and does, if you embrace the Luciferic ideologies and do these rotten, terrible things like burn down two counties in California, which they just did, they have the free will to do that. Dad doesn't interfere with man's choices. But every house and rescue we did that 2 weeks was saved. We had fire come at our house from a dozen different directions, 11 different times. And I'm talking walls of fire, 150, 200 feet tall.
Jeez.
And when it got right up to us, all of a sudden, it would turn and just go the other way. And they tried to burn this place down for 2 weeks. But see, this is where you can ask for, you know, protection, and Dad will look after you. And that's the blessing of Christ, you know, in your life. And as much as they get their blessings from their dark side, you know what I mean? The Watchers were only in chains for 70 generations, so these guys are free now. They're out moving on Earth. They have been for 100 years.
You're tuned into In Other News. Our guest is Don Bradley. We're talking about the early years of the Organite movement, Don's involvement with various New Age groups, and his departure from those groups. We'll be right back after this break. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Don Bradley. We're talking about his work with the Organite movement in the early years and his recent experiences surviving the massive fires in California. On your website, dailymessenger.blogspot.com, listeners, if you want to take a look at some of the images of the wildfires, our guest, Don Bradley, documented it's on his website.
It was quite a deal for 2 weeks. They just stopped on Christmas Eve, burning, you know, setting the fires. They're really trying to get on with this Agenda 21 business, you know.
Yes.
Trying to get people out of the country into big cities like New York and keep them there. You know, keep them away from clean air and water, and keep them on grids, and keep them in congestion, and where they sow, you know, the seeds of mistrust and racism and ruin and all the other things that we never used to have to deal with till the last 10 years. You see a good spirit, you want to give them a hug. You know what I mean?
I do. I want to go back to the work that you did to bring awareness to the aerosol operations and the climate engineering and the flat-out spraying of the skies. Can you talk about that effort that you made back in the, was it the mid-90s that you started this?
Sure, the Jeff French, our Bell shows, places like that, right. Had my own website, which I started in April of 95, so I've been on the Internet since that long.
Tell listeners about this, if you would, because I think it's important to understand how far back this goes.
The earliest we could find photographic proof of chemtrail spraying was 1959. Prior to that, nothing in movies or film, magazines. I spent a number of years going to libraries, digging up National Geo's old Life magazines. Prior to 1959, clear skies. 59 onward, chemtrails. I mean, James Bond movies, they're there. The movie Patton, they've got chemtrails and the lines in the sky behind them, and that's 1970. Another movie is a Harvey, the Walter Matthau movies he made in the 70s. You know, there's a lot of chemtrail stuff in his movies. You know, that's all early 70s. This goes way back. I mean, we've all had this all our lives, all of us. So they've been doing it a good long while. It's just, I don't know why we hit a critical mass in the mid-90s and a group of us finally noticed it and started talking about it and started bringing photography and getting on radio shows. See, I was already on the radio from my, you know, promoting my own books and being the new age guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just went there when no one wanted me to. But I give, you know, Jeff Rentz a lot of props for going there and being one of the earliest people to give it airtime. I believe he was the first, actually.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I remember noticing it back in 1999.
You know, and then we live in a time, I think you and your listeners already know this, so this will be a very redundant, but we live in a time of great evil in the world. It's visible. It's everywhere. And we know who's doing it. We have names for them. We call them banksters and oligarchs and globalists and Illuminati, and these were not common terms in the general mindset in the 90s, you know, 20 years ago. You know, that was bleeding edge stuff. You said a globalist to someone 20 years ago, and they're like, what? What's that? Now you say globalist to anyone, and they're like, yeah, I know what you mean. With all this evil that has been let loose upon the face of the planet has come this great truth about it. So everyone knows about chemtrails. My kids, when they were in high school, and this was a number of years ago, I had them ask one of their classes. I go, just ask your class if anyone knows what chemtrails is. And they all said, everyone raised their hand. This was 5, 6 years ago. So, you know, in the 90s, nobody knew what chemtrails were. So we're becoming more aware of the problems, and I think it just keeps balance. You know, we have to make a choice of what we're going to be, because the more that they do these things, the more people are noticing now. It's, you know, these fires, and bam, instantly it's on YouTube. You know, and people doing videos about it and explaining what's happening, and you're getting footage or my blog, you know, or something like that. And where it used to be one or two people, now it's thousands. You know, the chemtrail awareness campaign on YouTube is in the millions.
Yet it continues, and very few pilots come forward, and no air bases are really exposed, and it continues unabated.
The air wing in the Air Force is called the Omega Squadron. And on their dedicated chemtrail sprayers, they carry a symbol that looks like the Greek Omega. on the tail.
I remember that. In fact, what, didn't one of those planes crash in California?
Right, at the naval base.
I remember that, and it was news for a very short time in 2012.
Right. But they had one, and I was like, yeah, these people don't even realize what they're looking at. They're looking right at one of these machines. Here it is in front of us. But, you know, we live in a time now where, you know, in 2002 when I made my video, Clouds of Death, it was the first one. There was no YouTube then. You know, YouTube would still be, you know, 3 or 4 years away. And, you know, it was a lot of struggle to get it out there, you know. It was stopped, you know, I must have sent it to, I don't know how many different radio and other people on the Internet that had a decent name. And I talked to them, oh, did you get my package? Nope. Well, it had a DVD in it. You know, it was just a real struggle just to get it out there. But YouTube saved it from extinction. There's millions and millions of YouTube videos on chemtrail awareness. And because of that, we have solutions like Orgon coming up. The problem is it's one of clarity, of understanding what chemtrails are. Everyone thinks it's geoengineering. It's not.
I was going to ask you about that. Can you go into that a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because unless you understand what you're looking at, it's a biological issue. Their geoengineering is it with their scalar radar and these towers that they put up. That's really their real engineering. You know, it's in their technology. What that stuff is that's nanotechnology. That's stuff that you breathe in. It lands on your food. It changes the way your plants grow. It affects, you know, people and makes them sick all the time. And it's a biological weapon. And when you see what that is, you really realize that as long as it stays up there above 20,000 feet, it's fine. When it starts filtering, you make it, and it comes down on the deck and become hazy, is when this stuff becomes dangerous. And this is where something like a cloudbuster maybe isn't a great idea. And this is when I had to finally break from the Oregon movement, and I'm going to say it, and I am going to go there. Because when I began to realize what chemtrails finally were and what people were pulling out of microscopes and out of people's skin and their blood tests and their blood groups, and I'm like, this is a biological thing. Humanity's protected. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen huge spray campaign, and it doesn't get below 15,000 feet. It's like there's this buffer, you know, of protection. And it just moves off in the desert and then dissipates, or moves over the ocean, then dissipates. That's a great blessing, because as long as we're not breathing it in, because are they going to spray? Yeah, because that's how they're going to use their free will. And, you know, if they've been doing this since 59, like I said, the earliest we could find it, you know, if anyone else has found earlier, I'd love to see it. But, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is breathing it in. You know what I mean?
Right, very difficult to avoid, especially when they really double down on this, on the spraying, the aerosol campaigns. Mind blowing.
Yeah, there are some really bad days when you just have to stay in, close the windows and doors, and just pray it's gone by morning.
I'm blown away by how bad it's been in the past few years. People are complacent with this new reality.
Well, I don't think people know how to fight back. I mean, the generation that would have fought back, as they call the World War II generation, they died off, and they waited for that to happen. They waited till they got old, fat, and wouldn't take a huge risk. We've got such a deplorable state of citizenship and self-sacrifice. Most people wouldn't do what I do, or you. They, you know, they wouldn't go and spend the better last part of the last 20 years writing articles and books and trying to help people understand that they're being systematically taken to their own destruction. One way or another, that's coming. But you can still stop it, but if you don't, it'll be the end of you.
What do you think that the World War II generation would have done? What could they
have done? Well, actually, some of them have been asked, because there's some of these guys still around. They said they wouldn't fight for this generation. Ask if they would do all this again. They go, well, not for this time. Not for this country as it is now. They all have the same answer. I heard enough veterans say it. Just go to one VFW and listen to them talk. You'll hear it in an earful by the end of the night.
We're living at a very interesting time, no doubt about it, Don, as you've pointed out in your writings, on your blog. And I wanted to just shift gears for a minute. I wanted to get your thoughts on the increase of demonic possession across the planet, and recently an increase...
Off the charts. It's unreal.
And an increase in witchcraft among the younger generations of women, especially after the Hillary Clinton campaign.
I used to tell everyone back 15 years ago, I go, you know, it's going to be different after 9/11. And they go, what? I go, this is a mega ritual. This is a satanic mega ritual. And they're all going to come out, and it's all going to be mainstream. It's no longer going to be hidden or cloaked under New Age niceties or this, that, or the other. It's all going to be mainstream. They're going to put it into video games. They're going to put it into this. They're going to put it into that. And you look at every video game now. It's all satanic symbols. It's all demons. It's all this. It's all that. The music's all demonic and freaky-deaky. And you've got thousands and thousands of covens in each state that go on Twitter with their hexing campaigns. Have you ever seen any of these Twitter campaigns to spell casting hexing?
No, I haven't.
Can you realize just in Connecticut, they've got over 1,500 covens in Connecticut alone? That's 1,500 times 13 women. That's a lot of witches out there plying their trade. And most of them are deadly at it, too.
And this is from Fortune Dior. She wrote a book on psychic self-defense, and in that book she wrote that a lot of the spells that are written in books after, like in the early 1900s and late 1800s, are not effective.
The idea is to basically get you knocking on the door. They'll take you in and take you the rest of the way. You're never going to find a real grimoire on the internet or anything like that. But if you start playing around with the little Easter eggs they throw out there, and they're in every aspect of music, movie, film, you name it, it's in everything. And you show an aptitude for it, oh yeah, they'll be happily bring you right on in. It's my life story. It's just that with me, they kept it all love, light, meditation, you know, joy, friendship, you know, one happy global family. I know, I wrote about it in my books, about how we're going to be better off as a one-world society, no more wars. I was the idiot writing that stuff and saying it in articles for Atlantean Magazine and all this other place. And I've got an answer for all of it one day.
Have you written recent books countering some of the...
Absolutely. I wrote one in... May of 99 called America 2000 and Beyond. And my publishers wouldn't touch it. And so I put it into audiobook form and gave away all it away as an audiobook. But I couldn't get anyone to publish it. But now they have all this automated self-publishing. But now 85% of it's already come true. It would be redundant. It would be like a manual of our time rather than a warning of the future.
Some of the topics that are discussed on this show are about gang stalking and interference, especially...
Yeah, I've lived with that since I was 16. There's no escaping it. It's for life.
So you still get a lot of the interference whenever you're bringing Organite out. How do you deal with it? How do you resist it?
There's a prayer that I learned that allows you to cast out demonic spirits, and it's very effective. And if the Holy Spirit's already residing in you, it's instantly effective. I've actually employed this many times in public and got instant results. I've watched cars crash. I watched a lady sit in the front seat of her car, and she looked at me, and all of a sudden she started vomiting blood. And I was like, wow. Well, okay. Whatever was in her is just exited. Okay, you know, it's so I've got it up on my blog. I'll put it up on I'll post it up for the next 2 weeks, and that's the number one lead article. It's a very simple little thing you can say. It's the only thing that keeps them back off. Then it just becomes an electronic thing. Everything you have is bugged. Your house is bugged. Your car is bugged. They just keep it electronic. But the gang stalking, the sending the psycho terror troops after you, that all stops because then none of them want the evictions. Because, you know, for them, you know, to have their demons evicted is it's a traumatizing, very often life-taking experience.
Dom, we're coming up to the end of the show, and I really appreciate you being on as a guest and sharing some of this really sensitive information and being courageous to confront and transition out of real negative environments that you've experienced. If you would, could you tell listeners how to maybe get in touch with you and what your websites are?
Well, the main one I write through is Daily Messenger, one word, .blogspot, one word, .com. And my email is youwantsun@yahoo, UWANTSUN. That's a surfing thing, not a sun worship thing. If they want to write to me, you know, I can tell between the someone who needs help and someone who's just wasting everyone's time.
Well, okay. Well, Don Bradley, I want to thank you for being on In Other News. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. And thanks for listening and getting some of this out there. It needs to be heard. And there's more of this. There's plenty of people who have these stories and they need to be told as a warning mainly to others. You know, stay away from anything New Age or anything that smells New Age. It isn't. It's all Satanism. All of it. No matter how they fancy it up or pretty it up, it's the same thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m., wishing the listeners a very happy new year of 2018.